Open up to Ephesians chapter 4. We will begin here in verse 8. And this is where it's talking about how that Jesus has, really it's talking about the plan that God has for the body of Christ, for the church. In verse 8, it says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now what this means is, and we're going to see these gifts in just a moment, you all know where we're headed on this. It means that there are gifts that the Lord has given to us. Now, how many of you have ever given a gift to somebody? Christmas, birthday, whatever. Anybody? You ever given a gift to someone? Was it your anticipation that they would make use of this gift? Do something with it? Didn't matter what it was you gave them. It might have been the proverbial fruitcake at Christmas time or something. But you anticipated they would do something with it. Well, don't you think that Jesus would have maybe the same anticipation? That we're going to do something with the gifts that he has given. Well, we see here the gifts as they're identified in Scripture. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." So now we have a listing here of gifts. And the next thing he talks about has to do with the purpose for the verse 11 gifts, for the perfecting of the saints. But then he begins talking about for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. Now we're not going to go back and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 27 and 28, where we see the correlation between the works of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ, corresponding to helps, governments, and tongues. What we're going to focus on is the first part of this, the verse 11 gifts that are identified and what they do. So here's what we're going to do for the sake of this teaching. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We're going to use the term pulpit ministry to summarize verse 11, okay? Just for the sake of this teaching. So then we can, using that term, we can say that Jesus has given pulpit ministries for the perfecting of the saints. Then beginning in verse 13 and going through verse 16, he begins telling us why these gifts are so important. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, fully mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." The last part of this verse 13 is very similar to what it says over there in 2 Corinthians about how that we are transformed from glory to glory into the same image of Jesus Christ, conforming to His image, if you will. That's very similar to this, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." In other words, it's like the goal is for us to become a perfect reflection of Jesus. I know that many of you know there's a creek out in back of the church. And I went out there one day with my camera. This was back in the fall, I think. And it was one of those perfect days, you know. Just it was beautiful. And there was no breeze, so the water wasn't moving. And I got in just the right spot, and I took a picture. And this picture, you know how sometimes you take a picture and you're never really sure how it's going to come out until you, you know. Well, thank God for digital cameras. You don't like it, zap, it's gone. But even on those little bitty screens on the camera, you still don't get like the full effect. Well, I went home and I took the little card out of the camera and put it in the computer and pulled that picture up. This picture is incredible. Literally, and you know, I don't know if you've ever fooled around with pictures on your computer, but if you do it just right, you know, if you click on this and click on that, you can make the picture completely rotate around in a circle, all right? That picture, I'll say it like this, it is so perfect as far as the way the images are reflecting on the water. I can flip it completely around and you still won't know the difference between what is up and what is down, what is water and what, it's just unbelievable, okay? Well, that's the way it's supposed to be with us and Jesus. We are supposed to get to the point that we are reflecting Him so perfectly, there are no ripples, if you will, in our walk with Him, that we represent Him as He would represent Himself. The people we come in contact with, even though they know that we're not Jesus, they still see us as a reflection of Him, or they experience Him through us. Now, he says, this is what we're supposed to do, verse 13. We're supposed to come into unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God, conforming to the fullness of His image. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. So if I'm not going to be a child, if I'm going to become, verse 13, then I'm not going to stay a child. You see this? So if I'm going to do this, the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, if I'm going to do verse 13, I can't remain verse 14. Are you with me? I can't, that we henceforth be no more children. What kind of children? Well, he's talking spiritual children here. How could I remain a child, a spiritual child, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive? So if I'm going to become verse 13, I cannot remain verse 14. Tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Now, he says in verse 15 that we're supposed to be speaking the truth in love, to grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Sum it up. Verse 16, I'm supposed to be supplying into you. I'm supposed to be depositing what Christ has deposited into me. I'm supposed to be depositing this into you. And he says in verse 15 that we're supposed to be speaking the truth in love, growing up into Him, and so forth. But he makes it very clear in verse 14 that we're not supposed to be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Because if I am carried about with every wind of doctrine, if I am verse 14, I will never become verse 13. I will never become verses 15 and 16. It will never happen. So I have to go beyond verse 14 if I hope to become verse 13, conforming to the image of Christ. Now, what is it that I know about Jesus based upon what I've read here? Well, I know this, that He has given gifts unto men. And I also know that these gifts are pulpit ministry. So therefore, the pulpit ministry people are supposed to be doing something that will, verse 12, result in my perfecting. What is my perfecting? Verse 13, come to the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, fully mature man. So the pulpit ministry people are supposed to be doing something to help me come to the place of continually being perfected so that I can become a full reflection of Jesus Christ. Now, what is it that the pulpit ministry people are supposed to be doing for me? Well, he basically tells you in verses 14 and 15. The pulpit people are supposed to help me. They're supposed to guide me. They're supposed to direct me. They're supposed to work with me. They're supposed to do everything possible to keep me from being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And they are supposed to, verse 15, speak the truth. Can you see this? If I'm not supposed to be carried about by every wind of doctrine, and I'm supposed to speak the truth, if this is a part of what it means to be perfected, that means that the pulpit ministry people are supposed to be doing that to me. They're supposed to be delivering to me solid doctrine, truth. They're supposed to be speaking the truth to help me not get carried about by every wind of doctrine. Then obviously what I'm supposed to do is take what they give me and apply it to my life so that I'm not carried about by every wind of doctrine. See, you can hear truth, but you can still reject it. Just because you hear it doesn't mean that you've accepted it. And just because you hear it doesn't mean that you've applied it to your life. So I'm supposed to, if I want to become this image of Christ, what I'm supposed to do is hear and receive from the pulpit people apply it to my life, and then experience this perfecting process. So when it talks about the pulpit people perfecting the saints, essentially what that means is, I'm supposed to deliver to you, the pulpit ministry people are supposed to deliver to you perfecting doctrine. Because what you do with it after that point is totally up to you. But I and you, anybody who's called to the pulpit ministry, the ones he's identified here, our responsibility is to deliver to you, the body of Christ, perfecting doctrine. Doctrine that's going to keep you conforming to the image of Christ. Okay. But what if I don't know perfecting doctrine? What if I'm a pulpit person, but I don't know perfecting doctrine? What will I give you? I will give you, instead of perfecting doctrine, I will give you winds of doctrine. What will winds of doctrine do for you? Winds of doctrine will keep you, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. Winds of doctrine will keep you as a child. And it's not going to help you become what Christ wants you to become. Now, let's think about this. If the pulpit people are supposed to be delivering perfecting doctrine, and if they are doing that, then it's the responsibility of the people that hear it to apply it so that they are guarding themselves from being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and so that they come in unity of the faith. Meaning, we're of like heart and like mind. We're walking together. Our belief system is based upon what Jesus has given, not what man has given. So therefore, I'm supposed to be applying correct doctrine to my life so that I continually head toward the direction of the unity of the faith. Actually, the unity of the faith is really not so much about, it is about you and me walking together in fellowship, in truth. But it is more about me walking in fellowship and truth with Jesus Christ. See? Because if I'm in fellowship with Him, you and I may not be in fellowship in what we believe, but I can guarantee you this, God wants me to believe what Jesus has given to the church more than He wants me to believe what people have given to the church. So I need to continue to focus in on this thing of my own personal perfection. Now, why do I need to do that? Well, again, so that we're not children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and so that we become those who are speaking the truth in love. Now, we could go through a lot more detail in this, but we start off with the pulpit ministry, and the pulpit ministry is ministering to the people who are sitting under the pulpit ministry, but the people who are sitting under the pulpit ministry are supposed to become, verse 15, speaking the truth. You see this? Okay, now, if we're supposed to get to the place, those who sit under the pulpit ministry, if we're supposed to get to the place of speaking the truth, to whom are we supposed to speak it? To whom are we supposed to speak the truth? Well, might it be other members of the body of Christ? Let me show you something. You can leave your place here in Ephesians, because we may come back to it, but turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. And look in verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Or, in other words, he's a child. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now the thing that you are using, where it says those who by reason of use, the thing that you're using is not your senses. The thing that you're using is the strong meat of the Word. As you begin using the strong meat of the Word, it causes, I'll put it this way, your spiritual senses to be exercised, strengthened, and able to differentiate between good and evil. All right, well, you know, good and evil, I think most of us have a pretty good idea that you're not supposed to murder people, right? You're not supposed to do drugs. You're not supposed to be drunk. Okay, so he's got to be talking about something a little bit deeper than just acts of sin, especially when he's making reference to the fact, or he's drawing a connection between good and evil and the meat. So I have to use the meat in order to exercise or strengthen up my spiritual senses, because once that's done, I'll be able to discern or differentiate between good and evil. Well, you can take somebody that's just born again. They're going to know the difference between you should do this and you shouldn't do that. You with me? They're going to know that if they were doing some things before they got saved, they need to stop those things. They shouldn't do that stuff anymore because that's not right. Well, that doesn't take a whole lot of meat, does it? That doesn't take a whole lot of discernment. That doesn't take a whole lot of spiritual exercise. That doesn't take a whole lot of me being involved with the Word. But since he's drawing a connection between the strong meat and being able to discern between good and evil, and the strong meat he's talking about is the Word of God, then this good and evil has to be something connected to the Word of God, not my actions. So what is the good and evil that he could be talking about here? Well, essentially, the same kind of a thing that was written back over there in Ephesians about every wind of doctrine. The good and the evil is being able to differentiate between what is right doctrine and what is wrong doctrine. Because again, when you try to think from God's perspective, wrong doctrine is evil. Because it cannot cause you to conform to the image of Christ. Now, we already have seen here in Ephesians how that God wants us to become a perfect or spiritually mature individual reflecting Jesus Christ. You know, measuring up to the image of Christ. That's what God wants. Well, winds of doctrine can't do that for me. So therefore, if something is deposited into my life that will keep me from measuring up to the perfect measure of Jesus Christ and conforming to His image, if something has been given to me, taught to me, explained to me as doctrine that would keep me actually from becoming what God wants me to become, then from God's perspective, that's evil. Even though the teaching may not be telling me to commit sin, if it is a doctrine that does not lead me to spiritual conformity to the image of Christ, then it's not good doctrine. See, guys, you've got to understand something. With God, there is no compromise. It's either right doctrine that lines up with His Word, or it's wrong doctrine. With God, there is no, well, you know, you guys can believe it your way, and we'll believe it our way. That does not exist in the presence of God. With God, it is this way, or it's not any way. Because God has given to us His Word, and it's through the power of that Word, the truth, that we can begin to conform more and more to Jesus Christ and become everything that God wants us to become. Now, how many of you in this room right now think that you are Hebrews 5:12 teachers? Or are you Hebrews 5:13, a babe? Are you a Hebrews 5:12 teacher, or are you a Hebrews 5:13 babe? Now, whether your answer is, I'm a babe. My wife's a babe.
Hallelujah.
Different kind of babe. But whether your response was, I'm a babe or I'm a teacher. The next question is, why did you give that answer? Why do you think you're a teacher? Why do you think you're a babe? Why? Now, if you think you're a teacher, then that means, look at this again. I want you to see these words. Look right in this verse, chapter 5, verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, a teacher is somebody who has gone beyond the first principles of the oracles of God. Very simple. And he's saying here in this verse, you know, you ought to be past this, and you should be able to teach what are the first principles of the oracles of God. Can you see that in this verse? You should be able to teach these things. And he says, but the problem is, you're not that. You need somebody to come along and give you milk, not strong meat, because you see, you're still a babe. So now, are you a teacher or are you a babe? Now, if you believe you're a teacher, what that means is this. You should be able to teach what would be the first principles of the doctrine of God, the oracles as it's put in here, but the doctrine of God. You should be able to do this. You should be able to go into any church on this planet right now and give them foundational teaching. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about, you know, walk on water lessons. I mean, he's talking about foundational stuff. That's what he's making reference to. Okay, what would we call foundational teaching? Well, he kind of gives us a glimpse of it in chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptisms, plural, and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. He's given you an example of what some of these foundational teachings would be. Now, if we think along these terms, foundational teachings would include things like, what happened when you got born again? Are you a Christian with a sin nature? And if you aren't, then you should be able to explain that. You should be able... I mean, think about it. Think about this. Understanding whether, you know, as a Christian, somebody who's born again, you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, knowing whether or not you still have a sin nature is absolutely foundational. Is it not? Because if you do not know whether you have a sin nature or not, then you're not really sure what happened when you got born again. You really don't understand what born again is all about. So then, with that in mind, and understanding that having the concept of what took place on the inside spiritually when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is so very foundational. If you're a teacher, that means you should understand that. Not only should you understand that, but you should be able to walk people through the Bible and explain it to them. You should be able to help people come to a methodical understanding. Now, we're not talking about you being an Ephesians 4 pulpit ministry. We're talking about you should be able to explain to somebody, doesn't matter who it is or you know what the situation might be, you should be able to walk them through Scripture, showing these things to them without getting into a fussy argument. You know one of the reasons why people get into fussy arguments about scriptural things? It's because they really don't know how to go to the Word of God and explain themselves. And they get frustrated. And the easiest way to deal with that is just to tell somebody to shut up and slap them and tell them how dumb they are or whatever. Now, I admit Jesus got upset at times, called people hypocrites, broods of vipers, and so forth. And I guess there is a time and place for that. Hallelujah. But you should be able to convey that kind of information to somebody. Now, with only that one example in mind, how many of you are a teacher? Now, here's what I'm getting at. As I am standing here right now, I know of several different places, and when I say place, I mean it could be like a church or whatever, that have contacted me and have asked for help in correcting doctrine in their church or in their area or in their, you know, whatever the situation would be. They've contacted me and asked me if I can come over or if I can send somebody. As I stand here before you today, there are several places that I immediately could send some of you, and you would be able to go in there and help these people out. It's because, and I kind of shared about this before, through the Bible College, I received correspondence, emails, letters, and so forth from students in other nations. And I don't want to sound condescending, but I'm just maybe at a loss for words. But when it comes to, let's just say, teaching, we are so far beyond where a lot of these people are walking. And I don't mean that to be critical of them. It's just that they are byproducts of what they've been taught. You see what I'm saying? And essentially, and in these cases, they are byproducts of winds of doctrine. Not that anybody's trying to steer them away from Jesus. It's just, you know, they've got the Jesus born again part okay. It's beyond that. But the thing about what I just shared, you know, do you still have a sin nature if you're a Christian? The things about generational curses. Well, what I read to you the other night. Remember that about generational curses and, you know, and things like that? I mean, this, it goes on and on and on. And I read these things and I think, you know, I want to help these people so much, but I can't go everywhere. What does that mean? Ephesians 4. It means that all of you who are a part of this church are supposed to be growing in the direction of conforming to the image of Christ, the perfection that he talked about there in Ephesians, so that you can become this Hebrews chapter 5 teacher. Not necessarily that you are called to the Ephesians for pulpit ministry, but that you can become a teacher of the basic foundational principles. And one of the things that I have observed is that there are some people who do this and some don't. I mean, I'm not talking just here in the church. I'm talking like, you know, in the Bible College as well. There are some students that apply and there are some students that don't. And I don't know if some of you were here, you've been here for a number of years, some are, you know, newer than others, but I have shared on more than one occasion that one of the purposes for this ministry is to get people prepared to send them out and do these things that I'm talking about today. This is one of the reasons why, maybe I sound like a broken record, maybe I sound real pushy or whatever, but it's why I emphatically emphasize praying in the Spirit. I mean, doing the things that you need to do to grow up spiritually and mature spiritually. It's why I have repeatedly mentioned, get the tapes. Why I've told you how I used to do it. And about the sitting and listening to a tape and taking notes and praying in the Spirit and so on and so forth, so that these things could be embedded in my spirit. So that I would begin growing spiritually. So that I then can do what God has called me to do. Just because you may not be called to a pulpit ministry does not mean that you can't get to the place of being able to teach somebody. And as I mentioned, there are places right this moment, right now, I could probably send 10 people out to different places that are desperate for truth. Desperate. People that are looking to start a church, people that believe they're called to pastor, I could probably send you to some of these different countries to establish a church. And within a few months, you'd probably have hundreds, if not thousands, of people in attendance. That's the condition of what's going on in this world right now. There are Christians, and a lot of this has to do with the influence the Bible College has had on people. There are so many out there that are starting to, it's like the little light bulb is going off above their head, and they're thinking, wait a minute, you mean it's this? But I always thought, but they're teaching us, but it's this? Oh my goodness. And you know what they're doing? They're letting their friends and family hear these tapes. They're sharing these things with people. The pastors are receiving this, and then they're standing up and they're teaching these things to their congregations. And the same thing is true for people here in the States. There are... when I hear some of these things that come in, somebody sends me an email, you know, this is what we're hearing. This, oh, my goodness. But the thing is, I can't be everywhere. So what does that mean? What it means is this. The opportunity for people here to begin to be used by God, it's here. It's here now. And not just to go out, but also as far as the Bible College is concerned. We have the Laying the Foundations classes. And I know that I'm laying the foundation for the Laying the Foundations classes because there are other people that are supposed to be stepping in to teach. Now, I want you to think about this. And I'm not, you know, calling forth anybody, but how many of you have thought about the possibility that maybe you are supposed to be teaching in these foundation classes in the future? How many of you have thought about this? How many of you have considered that maybe you're supposed to at some point in time start teaching in the Bible College? Let me come at this from a different angle. And I know that there are people that are listening to this by the radio. And I want to address those of you that are listening to this, that you're not a part of this church. There are a bunch of you that have been listening to these programs over and over again, and you know, you're not doing anything with the messages you hear. I know you're not. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, there's this thing called prayer, how God speaks to people. And I know you're not, especially based on some of the letters that I get in, some of the requests that I get. I know you're not. You're not. All you're doing is letting your ears be tickled with good teaching and doctrine. You know, it's amazing how some of you write in and tell me how that you wish, and then I'm kind of paraphrasing, you wish you got this kind of teaching in your church. May I ask you, what is your problem? Let me get this straight. You continue to sit in a church that's giving you teaching that you now know is wrong? Who's more messed up? You or the teachers? I know some of you don't like to hear this. You probably switched the radio off by now. But what I'm getting at, there are too many Christians who have been taught that, No. They have been led to believe that their responsibility is simply to attend church. And yet Scripture contradicts that belief. How that we are supposed to be conforming to the image of Christ, and how we're supposed to be the ones that are getting to the place of being teachers. And there are some of you that you, way down deep on the inside, it's like you have this little something that just seems to be telling you that you just seem to know or understand that you're supposed to be, you know, maybe teaching. You're supposed to be conveying information. I mean, it's like it's in there. You know you're supposed to be doing this. All right, let me ask you a question. When are you going to do something about it? When are you going to get off the treadmill of your own life and get on the path that God has laid before you? I know you've got responsibilities and jobs and families and all this, but are you saying that God is incapable of helping you even in that kind of a situation? The Bible talks about for the time when you should be teachers. I know of one particular college that has contacted me about helping them find instructors. To, even if it's just to come and teach for a week. But they've contacted me. Now, what that means is this. I could send people to that school to teach. They're asking me for this. They're asking for help. So who do I send? How many of you in here that have been here long enough, how many of you should be at the place where I could send you? Yes, but Brother Martin, I can't leave. I have a job. I'm not saying quit your job and go. I think you grasp what I'm trying to get at here. How many could I send? How many of you are ready to step in and do something like that? The only reason that you might say, oh, I could never do anything like that, is because you have not been applying what you've been hearing. The only reason I am where I am today is because I've been applying what I've heard. And the only way that I will go beyond where I am right now is if I keep applying what I've heard. If I don't apply, I stay right here. This is as far as I go. But if I continue to apply, then I will continue to conform to the image of Christ, growing up, maturing, becoming perfected. A lot of folks just I talk a lot about from time to time about, church attendance and how important that is. Sometimes I think that people, when they hear that, they think that I'm just saying it because I want you to be here as a formality kind of a thing. No, that's not what it's about. I want you here because I want you conforming to the image of Christ. I want you getting to the place to where I can send you to some of these nations in Africa, to where I can send you to some of these other places here in the United States. I can send you to the Bible colleges that call and ask for help. I can send you out there, and I know that when you get there, you're going to be able to do exactly the same kind of a job that I would do. It'll be your personality and your style of delivery, but it will still be the kind of doctrine that will help people become established in their walk with God. It will be the kind of doctrine that will correct incorrect doctrine, that will help them see what they need to do, to help them understand things that God has given to us in His Word, so that we can become the image of Jesus Christ. This is what I want for all of you in here. It doesn't mean that you're all going to be sent out. But what it means is I want you to get to the place to where even if you never leave this city, you're still going to be, somebody could contact me and say, Brother Martin, in fact, this is already a partial possibility. So, where somebody could contact me and say, you know, we have this home Bible study and we'd like you to come to be our speaker. And my response to them would be, well, you know, I'd like to, but, you know, I can't on that particular night. However, I have this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. Any of them they'll be able to do just as good a job as what I could do. Here are their phone numbers. See what I'm saying? That is what is supposed to be happening here in this church. Truthfully, this is what's supposed to be happening in all churches. This isn't the exception. This kind of thing should be happening in every church that's out there. But again, it's what people do with what they hear that determines whether or not they become what they're supposed to be. So as I look across this room, all the people that are here today, every single one of you are supposed to be, you're supposed to be here all the time. Every time these doors open. You're supposed to be here to receive what God wants to deposit into your life so that you can take it, apply it, and you can begin conforming to the image of Christ so that God can begin promoting you into what He wants you to do. And I know everybody has different circumstances, and I do know that at times people can't be here, but what I'm trying to convey is I want you here not just to say you were here. It's not just about attendance. It's not just about saying, being able to talk to somebody and another preacher and say, well, bless God, you know, we had 85 in church, you know, we had 110, we had whatever it would be. That's not what it's about. It's about you growing and becoming perfected into the image of Christ, so that when I get these phone calls, over the last year, really last 2 years, the calls for help have been increasing. The cries, the emails, the letters, please have someone come and help us. Please, can you send somebody? Can you come to our church? Can you come to the... Please, is there anybody? This has been increasing. If you remember years ago, I told you this was going to happen. The day was going to come when these kind of things were going to take place. And that I wanted all of you to be in a position. Okay, now here we are. The requests are coming in more and more. And I need every one of you. I mean, I could go through and I could call every one of you by name. I won't take the time to do that. But I want you to be in that place to where I could call you up and say, listen, there's a Bible study that's meeting on Tuesday nights over in such and such elementary school. They've asked me if I can come, but I can't. Would you go and minister? Are you able to go? And whether or not you're able that night isn't the point. The point is, spiritually, you're in a position to where you could do it. See this? Male or female? Man, I don't care. Doesn't make any difference to me. All of you, when the time you ought to be teachers. This is what God wants of us. Now, what does that mean? I mean, as far as like a personal, you know, challenge, this whole thing is about your relationship with God. It's not about your relationship with me. Every pastor in every church should be stressing this. But how many of you can bear witness that that's not the case? It's like most pastors are just content with getting a lot of people in the church and having high attendance and lots of money, and whatever. And yeah, high attendance, lots of money, you know, praise God for that. But it's about Ephesians 4, the perfecting of the saints. It's about the saints speaking truth. It's about the saints becoming Hebrews 5 teachers. It's about the body of Christ being able to speak the truth and pass this information on to people. Just like the day came when Timothy had to fill the pulpit for Paul and Titus had to fill the pulpit for Paul and on. Every one of us in this church, every one of you, the same thing is supposed to be true. Not that you're going to spend your life in pulpit ministry, but you should be ready to teach, apt to teach, ready to convey what you know to the people that you would be sharing this with. The challenge is to start seeing yourself as having the potential to do this. The challenge is to examine your life and find out what exactly is it that's keeping you from doing the things that you need to do. The challenge is fighting the flesh so that you can get to that place to where God recognizes that you now are ready to step in and do these things. I look forward to the day when we've got people going out and coming in, going out and coming in, giving testimonies. Well, I was in Montana, and you know, this is what happened in that particular church. I was able to help this church. You know, the 2 weeks that I was there, we literally were able to establish somebody in that church as pastor. You know, it's been a Bible study for all these years, and we were literally able to help get this thing, you know, established. I was able to go over to Kenya and help this pastor get things straightened out in his church. And the week and a half that I was there, we were able to get a whole lot of things in order and help people, you know, get in places what they were. And you know, these kind of stories. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is what's supposed to be happening. That is a part of what this ministry is all about. It's not the sole part, but that's a part of what this ministry is all about. And every single person here, every one of you, you have the potential to play a role in this. And the only reason that you're not is because you're not. It isn't because God's holding back on any of us. It's because we have to do our part. And there are people that are listening to this by radio, and I'm going to get really bold, and if, you know, people send me some, you know, who do you think you are letters, well, I guess I can live with that. There's some people, some of you listening to this by radio, you should have left your church a long time ago because you are not getting any help from your pastor in fulfilling the call of God on your life. And I'm telling you as a pastor of a church that I know part of my role is to help people fulfill what God has called them to do. And there's some of you listening to this, God's been dealing with you about getting out of that church and getting into a place. I mean, you might be listening to this from another state over the internet or something. I don't know. But God's been dealing with you about leaving your church, and you better do what God's telling you to do. You better get in a place where the atmosphere is such to where the leadership in that church will help you fulfill what God has called you to do. And they're not going to force you into the mold of an organization or a denomination or a tradition or whatever, but they are going to help you into the mold of Jesus Christ. So those of you that are hearing this, you know, you need to pray about that. And those of you that are here live and in person, I'm asking you to really pray about this. I mean, really give this some hard thought. Because in my role, I need you to be ready to help me when it comes to ministering to all of these people, wherever they are, anywhere in this world. I need you. I cannot do it all by myself. I need you. So whatever that means to you, your own life, your own individual situations, whatever needs to be altered, changed, arranged, what, for Christ, for Christ's sake, for the kingdom, okay? For what He wants. Evaluate your life and think about this. Because I'm standing before you today and I am telling you that the opportunities for ministry are starting to come in more and more and more. And I am fully ready to send out as many people as I possibly can to help you do what God's called you to do, but most of all, to help Him accomplish what He wants in this world for the purpose of the kingdom. I mean, this is, it's making disciples. That's what it is. And see, I'm excited about all the people that are a part of this church, because I don't just see you as a person sitting in a seat. I see you as somebody who has the potential to touch the lives of tens and hundreds and thousands and even to millions. That's what I see in every person in this church. Don't ever think that when I look at you, I just see another person who shows up and then goes home and then comes back and then goes back. Every person that I see you as having the potential to become one of those Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 5 teachers. Every single one of you. And I know what I need from you, but I tell you what, God needs it more than me, because it's about His kingdom, not mine. We're all in this together to accomplish the same purpose. Amen? So think about this, pray about this, and keep in mind that the only thing that's holding you back is what you do, is what you hear, and what God's called you to do.